Good morning. I'm super excited for today. Today is one of my favorite days. I've gotten the pleasure to do this one other time here, but a few times when we were living in Georgia. But I love this day, and I love this part of my job where I get to facilitate moments like these for our students and their parents. But seniors, we congratulate you. We are proud of you. We love you, and we want to be here for you as you step into your next journey. We usually start this time off by looking back at the world that our seniors were born into. These seniors were born around the year of 2008, give or take a year. But around the year of 2008, you may be, if you look back, I can't believe that's 18 years ago. This guy right here was in the second or third grade. That seems so long ago, but in so many ways, I remember all my little school teachers and the journey that I was on at that point in time. But you may remember the hit TV show Breaking Bad came out in the year 2008. Maybe not the best of shows, but this is considered to be one of the most famous TV shows of all time in terms of a rating. You may remember the movie Batman: The Dark Knight. Right, I loved this movie growing up. This is Heath Ledger's famous performance as the Joker. He would pass that same year. You may remember, I know I'm getting a lot of movies today, but you may remember Iron Man. This kicked off a multi, probably trillion dollar movie expense here of more than 20 films, several TV shows, super successful franchise. And for some of my Swifties out there, you may remember Taylor Swift dropped her album Fearless. I cannot remember a single song from this album. I am only a Swiftie by marriage, and so Avery is teaching me what it means to be a true fan of Taylor Swift. You would remember this now, but these three apps came out in this year: Airbnb, Hulu, and Spotify. Very popular apps today. And then things going on in the world at the time. You may remember the stock crash of 2008. The Great Recession around the years of 2007, 2008 with the housing market, all that crazy stuff. You know, I just realized the other day, when I was 8 years old, I had no idea that this was going on. Nobody told me that this was happening. And I didn't learn about this till high school. And I was like, Mom and Dad, you didn't tell me the world was going to end. I didn't know this. And then last but not least, you may remember a very historic moment in our country. The very first African-American president was elected, Barack Obama. Some of this stuff, can't believe 18 years ago. It's crazy to me. I know I'm not that old, but crazy to me to have memories of 18 years ago. It blows my mind. Some of you guys are well, that's child's play, but but it's just crazy in my mind. So today is an exciting day, and Noah's been, as he mentioned earlier, been leading a series around relationships. And so today I have the opportunity to discuss with you about friendship. I think it's a very important topic, especially for our graduating seniors. But in some ways, I think we underestimate the power of friendship. And ultimately, one thing I want to discuss with you today is that Jesus is a friend worth having. I don't know if I have to convince you entirely that friendships are very important. They're something that shape our heart. They are something that shape our faith, that shape the direction that we will go in life. And before I dive deeper into what I want to talk about with that today, I want to start by looking at some unlikely friendships. Friendships that make us go, which of these is not like the other? And so National Geographic released a TV show a few years ago called Unlikely Friends. It's about animals that you would never put together in a room, but somehow they have a nice kinship. I have the names, so this is very important. This is Curtsy the zebra, and another weird name, Bakari the giraffe. They have a very sweet friendship. I would have never put these animals in a room together to have a great friendship if I had not watched the movie Madagascar. This is very unlikely. Here's another one. This is Matani, the golden retriever, and Cassie, the cheetah. And look at them. They're smiling for the photo. They're so sweet. It is so cute. And here's my favorite. This is Aldabra, the tortoise, and Brant, the goose. You can actually look up videos of this. I think it's so cute, but I don't know why, but like a tortoise and a goose just don't go together. Unlikely friendships. It makes me ask the question, right, which of these is not like the other? And so today, we're going to be talking a lot about friendship, and I'll come back to this idea. Today, what I really want to convince you seniors of, but also adults of, that who you invite to the table of friendship matters just as much as who you don't invite to the table of friendship. And I'll get into that today. Today, for those of you that like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be kind of camping out in the book of Luke, chapter 5, if you want to follow along. I'm not going to read through all of it, but I think Jesus paints in this chapter two very different versions of friendship. There's some similar concepts, but I think communicates two very important truths about friendship. The first one being it's the story of these friends. They have this group of friends. They have a friend who is a paralytic man, and they have this thought, like, we're going to go take our friend who is paralyzed, and we're going to go and see if Jesus can heal him. As they're arriving on the scene, all these people are gathered around Jesus, and they have this problem, like, how are we going to get him to Jesus? And these friends, they devise a plan, right? They get on top of this roof, and they break through this roof. I actually was thinking the other day, I don't know, has anybody, I ask questions a lot in our teen class, ask for a raise of hands, but I don't know if you've ever had a hole in your roof, but I'll never forget when I was like, I think 8 years old, I came home and there was a massive hole in my ceiling, our ceiling in our living room, and it turns out that my dad was walking in the attic and fell right through. He's okay. He was okay. I probably should have asked him to mention that story today. But besides the fact, this is a pretty, like, if you come home and you see a hole in your roof, you're like, there are not a lot of good things that go through your mind. You're like, this is pretty frustrating. So I don't know whose house this is. I don't know if I would have been happy if it happened to me. But either way, it's a very miraculous story, right? These friends break through the roof, and they lower their friends, the paralytic man, down before Jesus. And I love what Jesus says here, or what it says here. It says that Jesus saw their faith, saw the faith of the friends. Seniors, as we talk about today, and I'll get to the rest of the story here in a minute, but as we talk about today, I really ask the question, really to all of us, do you have friends like that? Do you have friends who are willing to go above and beyond for you? Who are willing to go above and beyond to deliver you to the feet of Jesus? I think it's a worthy question worth asking. I think it's a question we all ought to ask, like, who are my friends? Especially my high schoolers, you guys are beginning to definitely ask the question, who are my real friends? Who are the friends that care about me just as much as I care about them? Do you have friends like this who are willing to go above and beyond to bring you just before the feet of Jesus? Well, I think this is so important. I think this is incredibly important, that having faithful friends matter. I think the world can offer some really good friendships. I think this is true. I think the world can offer some really great friendships. But I think what I'm after here is a friendship that brings you to the feet of Jesus. Having faithful friends is really important. And I don't mishear me. I don't think having unfaithful friends does not matter. I'll get into that here in a second. But I think having a people who of faithful friends who pray for you in your darkest moments, who help you in the midst of a broken marriage or struggling with your children or with your parents, having people who are willing to walk alongside you in faith, in prayer, and just care about your heart and pursue your heart is incredibly important as you step into adulthood. Moments, we all face moments where we are spiritually sick, where our faith is weak, and we need people who are going to step in and help us. And so, I'll come back to the end of this story. But another story, it's just a few verses later in the chapter of Luke that I think communicates another point of friendship, is the story where Jesus goes up to a tax collector named Levi and says, "Follow me." That's it. I wish we had more dialogue here, because it's kind of like if somebody walked up to me one day while while I was working at the office and just had never met them before and just said, come follow me, I would be like, okay, who are you and what are you selling? Like, I don't know if I want to follow you, but it just says that Matthew stops what he's doing and follows Jesus, and he throws a great banquet, and he invites all his tax collector friends and sinners along, and Jesus is sitting at the table with these tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees see this, the religious leaders see this, and they go, and they're almost asking the question in their mind, which of these is not like the other? What is Jesus doing with those people? And before you sit there and you have the same thought, like, I can't believe the Pharisees are that judgmental. I think we're all guilty of that. I mean, how many of us in here have seen two people hanging out and go, why are they hanging out with that person? Why is that guy dating that girl? I cannot believe those two are getting married. They're terrible for each other. I think we've all probably had thoughts like that about certain people. We may even have come to the conclusion that if those two people are hanging out, I want nothing to do with them. That's not, those are not the kinds of people I want to be around if those two people are hanging out. And in some ways, we like to judge and segregate people in our hearts and our minds and in relationships, that these two things, these two people, are not like the other. They don't go together. That Jesus, a righteous man, does not go with unrighteous people. This is natural thought in the Pharisees' minds. And honestly, I think we, in similar ways, think the same way. My next point I want to make is that who you spend your time with shapes you and shapes others. I think who you spend your time with says a little bit about your identity, about who you are. But also, on the flip side, who you refuse to spend your time with also says something about our identity. Have you ever felt like you had to be a certain way in order to be a part of a certain friend group? I think more that way when I was in high school. I probably had some certain habits that I around certain people that I would begin to act a certain way. Sometimes we call this fake, or we call this hypocrisy. And I don't think this is exclusive to high schoolers at all. I think we do this as adults sometimes too, if not all the time. But have you ever felt that way, that when you're around certain people, you might talk differently, you might act differently, you might even hide parts of yourself when you're around certain people? I would just like to say, I think people feel this way when we step inside of churches sometimes, that when we step inside of church, we feel like we have to tuck parts of ourselves away, we have to speak a certain way, we have to act a certain way, and you may be thinking, I've never felt that way before. I would be surprised. I think we've all walked in, maybe even into this building before, and said, I have a lot going on, but I don't want anybody to know. I am just going to put on my nice smile and get through the next 2 hours. But I don't think that's the kind of friendship, I don't think that's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants us to have with one another or with the church. I think some people, even at church, think, if I just get my life together first, maybe then I can come before Jesus. I think that's what the beautiful part of this story is, that Jesus, for both of these people, for the tax collectors and sinners, but also for the paralytic man, Jesus meets them where they are and as they are. And going back to the story of the paralytic man, just to finish it, I think what's really cool about this story, Jesus sees their faith, and he says to him, he says, well, it depends on which translation you're reading, but most translations it says, man, your sins are forgiven you. Some translations may even say, friend, your sins are forgiven you, or son, your sins are forgiven you. And then the Pharisees and everybody in the crowd, Jesus feels the tension, right? The questions they're asking, they say, you're blaspheming. Who are you that you can forgive sins? Only God can do that. And Jesus looks at them and says, which is easier, that I say, this man, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But so that you may believe that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, he looks at the man and says, rise and walk. And it's kind of a beautiful story, but I think Jesus goes deeper here. I think if Jesus just outright heals him, it's an incredible story still. He heals a paralytic man. But I think what Jesus has come here to do is so much deeper than that. That he sees this man's heart, that he's more than just his disability. He's more than just this physical ailment he's had his whole life, but he sees something way deeper in this man, and he goes to him in the midst of something that's way more broken about him, and it's his sin. It's this thing that's been gnawing at him his whole life, all his mistakes, his regrets, his past that has led him to this broken life, that to this point where his friends are doing this for him, and he says in a personal way, man, friend, your sins are forgiven. How powerful is that? I always wish, like, if I could have an interaction with Jesus, in some ways, like, I wish it was like that. Like, in so many ways, if Jesus was standing here on the stage looking at me, like, I'd be so embarrassed, because it's like he can see right through me. He can see everything I've ever done. Everything, every mistake I've ever made, every hypocrisy I've ever lived, every challenge or whatever it may be that I've been through, every brokenness that I've ever had, I'd be so embarrassed. And if he looked at me and said, Noah, like, I see you. Your sins are forgiven you. I just imagine, like, the comfort that must have brought to that man. But definitely not expected. It's not what you expect. And the Pharisees are absolutely surprised here. And I think the same thing as we move back to this other story of the tax collectors, where the Pharisees are asking questions, why are you doing this? And Jesus says to him, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but it's the sick that need a doctor. And so Jesus, he's broadening the definition of what sickness truly is. It's not just this physical thing, these physical ailments, diseases. And back in the ancient world, there was this concept, almost like karma, right? That if you had a certain disease or sickness, that means you or somebody in your family has done something wrong. And I'm sure that maybe they didn't believe that in every circumstance, but in a lot of ways, they look at people who are in their sin or are in their physical brokenness, and they go, you did something wrong, you're in your sin. That's what you hear your whole life. But for Jesus to step into both of these situations, to meet them where they are and as they are, was so powerful, so powerful. And so Jesus meets us where we are and as we are, and he loves you too much to leave you there. I think that's the tension, that Jesus accepts people completely without approving of everything in their lives. He sits with them not because they are righteous, but because they are unrighteous and need healing. And honestly, I think that completely changes how we should treat people. And so I ask the question, who are you willing to sit with? Who are you willing to invite to the table of friendship? You know, there's around 17 moments in the gospel where Jesus sits around. It's a scene where Jesus is sitting around a table with people who are far from God. He sits around the table with struggling people, sinful people, messy people, doubting people, because that was his ministry. But sometimes, I think, even as a Christian, I've battled with this. I think sometimes, even as a Christian, we often surround ourselves with people who make us comfortable. And many times, probably fearful to step into the kind of relationship where I sit down with somebody who is in deep sorrow and pain, who is maybe not even a believer. I think many times we are scared to sit with people in those situations. And I'll ask the question, when was the last time you intentionally stepped into a relationship like that with someone who was hurting, someone who was struggling in their marriage and their finances, someone who is struggling with loneliness to fit in, someone struggling to believe that they matter? Well, I think Jesus here especially teaches us how to be present with people like that. And Noah read this verse earlier, but John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. that someone lay down his life for his friends, that the cross, that what Jesus goes through for all mankind is the ultimate expression of friendship. That Jesus doesn't just say he loves you, he proves it. He lives that out. And so I ask a lot of questions this morning. Who is a friend of Jesus? If you look at both of these stories, who is a friend of Jesus? Well, it's tax collectors and sinners. It's broken paralytics. It's people who feel like they're in isolation and brokenness and terrible sin. And I think because of that, I think this is the beauty of the gospel. Jesus becomes, worth emulating, becomes worth following. Seniors, you are about to enter a very complex world of relationships. But to be honest with you, you are already in a complex world of relationships. There is not a part of me that really wants to go back to a lot of my high school relationships, right? There were so many complexities, so many like, what did that person say? The gossip, all that. And I would like to just go ahead and say, that stuff doesn't go away when you become an adult. Like all those things still take place. It's just a little bit, it feels a little bit different at times. But I encourage you, from both of these stories, be intentional who shapes your heart. Be intentional whose heart you're shaping. Find people who pull you towards Jesus, but also do not build a life where you only spend time with people who are exactly like you. We encourage you to clothe yourself with Jesus, to make a difference in the world, to walk into relationships, willing to be transformed, but also willing to love others through their transformation. And I think adults, the same challenge applies to all of us. At work, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, at the school pickup lines, at restaurants, at your barber or your hairdresser, inside even our own families, the challenge to love people, all people, as our friends exist. And I think we have opportunities every single day to reflect the friendship of Jesus to people who desperately need hope. And so, seniors, today, God is sending you. I think as a church, in many ways, we're sending you out. We are sending you out not alone, never alone, but you go with a community of people who love you, who want to support you, who want to be here for you, but you go with a purpose to love people, to notice people, to sit at tables with people of all kinds of people, to put Jesus on the table in every relationship that we have. The church was never meant to become a place where Christians hide away from the world. The church should be filled with people who love those who are nothing like them, that when people look at us, they might say, which of these is not like the other? I think that is one of the most beautiful parts of our faith. What other faith could bring people of all tribes, of all nations, of all tongues, of all backgrounds, of all sicknesses, all brokenness, of all sins into a place to worship him? What other faith could do that? I think that is so amazingly incredible about our God. What other God could do that? And that might become the very reason, the very thing that points others to Jesus. Seniors, I hope you found some encouragement there today. Adults, I hope you found some encouragement as well. I think a lot of us in our lives have probably heard the words somewhat around, surround yourself with the right kinds of people. Surround yourself with good friends. Surround yourself with Christians. You've probably heard those words before, and I think there's some truth, right? I think absolutely we should have faithful people who lift us up in our lives. But I don't think surrounding ourselves only with those people is the kind of vision that Jesus paints for us. I think he encourages us, right, to surround ourselves with people who will lift us up, but also with people who we get to lift up, with people who are in their brokenness. Because Jesus was a friend to all people. I think he's calling you to be a friend to all people, no matter the circumstances. And so, seniors, welcome to the club of adulthood. We are excited for you. We are proud of you. We love you. And you are not alone in this journey. We want to keep lifting you up as you step into adulthood. But now we enter into the fun part of the sermon where we get to look at a bunch of embarrassing pictures of our kids growing up through the years. So we're going to go ahead and play that video now.